Hey everybody, welcome again to F This Movie. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I'm joined tonight for a very special discussion, a Junesploitation discussion of Doomsday by Mark Ahn.
How's it going, everybody? It's Mark Ahnsploitation.
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 Happy Junesploitation, everyone. Starting June 1st, we kick off 30 days of exploitation in genre films. If you don't know what Junesploitation is, if you're one of these people that just listens to our podcast, never visits our site, go to fthismovie.net, click on the Junesploitation tab at the top of the page. It's a ton of fun. We've had more participation this year in just 2 days than we've ever had in the past. It's
wow.
It's going to rival Scary Movie Month, I think, in terms of being like an event. People are killing it, and I love reading about all the weird movies that people are watching. I'm so excited. I'm barely sleeping, although that could be said for most of the year.
Yeah, you should sleep some more.
But at least during Junesploitation, I cannot sleep and watch weird movies with boobs in them.
Yeah, it's an awesome way to do it. Should we explain Junesploitation for people? Or
just every day we watch a movie from a different category. There's a calendar up at fthismovie.net. Check out the calendar. And then every day you watch any movie you think fits into that category. Like today we're recording this on Tuesday. The category I've already forgotten. Oh, sci-fi. Yeah. Just watch any science fiction movie.
Anything at all.
Some of the categories are more specific. Like there's cannibals. Guess what? This movie would fit. One day is cars. Guess what? This movie would fit. Yeah, one day is cops. Guess what? This movie would fit.
Right. So it does it like the whole movie. Patrick, would you say that the whole movie has to be about the category?
No.
So if there's like 2 seconds of like cannibals, I could still watch it for cannibals.
It's
right?
So rare that you get a movie with just 2 seconds of cannibalism where straightforward Katherine Heigl romantic comedy. She has stood up in all these weddings. She just doesn't know when she's gonna find the right guy. She accidentally eats an arm and then she falls in love and sings into a hairbrush.
When will I ever find the right cannibal for me?
Yes, exactly. That so rarely happens, but yes, should it happen, that absolutely would count.
All the other cannibals have been so wrong. So okay.
Doomsday seemed like a good choice for this week's podcast because A, the sort of Mad Max Fury Road tidal wave continues and people are loving talking about that movie.
Oh
and
my gosh, yeah.
Here's a movie that's obviously very informed by George Miller and the Mad Max series. And also because it's Junesploitation. And like I just said, this movie could be watched on, I don't know, probably 20 of the days for Junesploitation. It really crams as much in as possible. But we're going to talk about Doomsday.
In a second.
First, I have to ask you, Mark, on.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything good lately?
I have seen a couple of things I really like.
Let's have it.
To talk about. I saw Mad Max Fury Road, obviously. You guys did a great podcast on that. What else is there to say? I want to see it as soon as possible again.
Yeah.
I've been telling other people that I want that, you know, hey, have you seen it? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, no. Have you seen it 3 times? Because that should be like the minimum times how many you should watch it for. And they're like, well, no, I have 2 more times. I'm like, yeah, okay, so get on that. So anyway, you guys should listen to the Fury Road podcast that Patrick and JB did because it's worth your listen. I saw Ex Machina.
Yes.
And have you seen that yet or no?
I did.
Okay. Alex wrote up a thing about that, right? So I don't want to steal too much of his thunder, although I don't totally remember what he wrote.
He accidentally reviewed the movie Bicentennial. I thought it was weird, but I didn't want to call attention to it. I was like, I'm just going to let him have this one.
I didn't like it as much as I saw it with Adam Riske, actually. We both kind of didn't like it as much as Alex did.
Okay.
We still respect Alex's opinion, of course. I felt like the ending sort of was different than what I was thinking it was going to be. And so that kind of let me down a little bit. I think it's still in theaters, so I don't want to give too much away. But
it is, I think, still in theaters. And obviously we can't talk about what your specific issues are with it. Did you happen to read the Film Crit Hulk piece about the ending of the film?
No, I did not know he wrote about it.
He wrote a film over at birthmoviesdeath.com, formerly Badass Digest.
Yeah.
About the ending of the film and about the way that it sort of subverts our expectations in terms of audience identification. Now, without getting into specifics, I don't know that will address the issue that you had, because I don't know what the issue that you had is.
Perhaps.
But he talks very specifically about the end
Okay.
of the movie.
Cool. I'm going to definitely look for that then.
It's 10,000 words long and all in caps.
That's the best. I love it. I love it when people complain about that too. It's so hard to explain Film Crit Hulk to other people too, by the way, normal people.
Yeah.
I'm like, so there's this guy. What's his name? I don't know. He doesn't have a name.
It's a secret.
He pretends to be the Hulk, and then he writes it all caps, and people just look at me very strange. I think, but I do, even though maybe I didn't like it as much as other people, I do think it's a movie worth revisiting, and so I definitely want to watch it again.
Sure, yeah.
I felt like I maybe missed something. What'd you think about it?
I thought it was good, not great. And I'm wondering how much of that is me responding to people kind of championing it, especially at the time that it came out. It was right before Fury Road, and then Fury Road stole every movie's thunder.
Right.
But when Ex Machina came out, it was like, well, this is the first great movie of the year. This is the bee's knees. And I don't really have any specific complaints. Yeah. There aren't things that I would point to and say, well, this was wrong and this was wrong.
Yeah.
It just sounds like maybe it didn't connect with me as much as it did with other people.
Yeah. I think I've talked to a couple people, and they really liked it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would like to talk to you because I want to know why you really like it, because I think I also want to like it also.
But, yeah.
And I'm still confused as to why I don't. But
again, it's interesting science fiction and some good performances and has ideas. And when I read the Film Crit Hulk thing, and this is not me patting myself on the back, but I was like, yeah, I think I already got that. That's not my issue.
Sure.
Like, it's not like, oh, you're explaining the ending to me and now I like it. I already got what he was saying and I was okay with that aspect of it.
Yeah.
But okay, we're kind of talking around the issue. So.
I'm going to go read that Film Crit Hulk piece.
Yes.
And then I'm going to go back to Alex's article. And
yes. Just remember, it's about Bicentennial Man.
Shoot. So it's like a code word.
If you see Alex, just pretend like, hey, great review of Ex Machina. You really got to the heart of that Robin Williams performance.
I know. I can't believe that Robin Williams dressed up as a robot who's a girl.
Yes. Listen, just
it's a
don't,
layers upon layers.
We all have to agree to keep the illusion going for Alex's sake.
Like
okay?
An onion.
We all have to agree.
I know. Now that he's married.
To pretend this is our Lars and the real girl. Okay?
Oh. Nobody talk about it.
The real girl is Bicentennial Man.
Oh, okay. I got it now. So Ex Machina. The other movie I saw that I liked was actually a pretty old movie, so I feel really stupid. It was The Conversation. Adam and I wrote a little column on that one, and Glengarry Glen Ross. Man, The Conversation's so good.
Right?
I feel stupid for not having seen it. I feel like that for a lot of the movies that we see, which is part of the reason why I created that column in the first place.
Yeah, but nobody can see all the movies.
That's true.
Nobody can.
They should see this movie. If
oh,
you haven't
for
seen
sure.
The Conversation,
yeah.
Please go see it. I'm sure it'll fit into one of our June's Plantation categories at some point.
Eavesdropping is a day. I want to say June 28th is eavesdropping day. So you'll definitely know.
I can't tell whether you're being sarcastic
of
or not. I have
I'm
no
being
idea.
Sarcastic.
How many eavesdropping movies are there?
It's Hackman, Hackman-sploitation,
Hack
I think.
Hack-sploitation.
Is the 29th. So it fits in there.
Harrison Ford-sploitation.
Yes. I will be watching Regarding Henry.
I'll be watching Witness.
What? I'm not remembering
Six Days
this
and Seven Nights.
Correctly. Coppola made The Conversation and The Godfather Part 2 in the same year?
I think so. That sounds pretty close, which is crazy.
I can't remember if it was Part 1 or Part 2. I want to say it was Part 2 because I know both films were nominated for Best Picture and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I mean, that makes us all feel bad about ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, no problem.
I accomplished nothing today.
Right.
Nothing.
I did two amazing things in a year. What did you do?
Yeah.
I put on my pants.
Yeah. You barely even saw The Conversation,
yeah.
Much less made The Conversation.
Right, I saw The Conversation like 40 years after it was made.
I'm
done. But it's so good. It's just you just don't see.
This is the one where Robin Williams is in the robot suit. Do I have this
as
right?
As a girl.
As a girl.
And he's listening to other girl robots.
Okay. Then I've got it. I've
but
seen
they're
it.
And they're drink soap.
Good movie.
It's fantastic. If you haven't seen The Conversation, you actually should because you don't see movies like that anymore. It's a different tone. It's a different like speed. It's Gene Hackman not like doing sort of what we now know as Gene Hackman. It's sort of a different Gene Hackman.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, those are the only two worth talking about. What have you seen?
Okay, well let me get to it. I got to pull up my list. The first thing I'll mention is last week Erica and I went to the Music Box Theater here in Chicago.
Oh, that's right.
For a sold out screening of UHF. With Weird Al and director Jay Levy in person, and it was fun. It was crazy. All I'm remembering now is how hot the theater was, because when you pack hundreds of people into the same place, it gets really warm.
So especially with Weird Al.
Face was on fire the whole time. But we did a podcast, Eric Asperschlager and I did a podcast on that movie last year, and I had said, like, I really think it's one of the best comedies of the last 40 years, or I don't remember the number I threw out. And I felt vindicated watching it again in an audience full of people, and obviously these were the fans of the movie, right? But right. I've never seen a movie in this situation where people are, hundreds of people in unison are saying lines of dialogue with the movie, standing up and cheering. My absolute favorite moment came right at the beginning. I was worried it was going to be irritating, but they were pretty good about it. Like, they picked their moments, and it was only the lines, the really quotable lines that everybody remembers. Everybody in unison yelling, "Stupid! You're so stupid!" So in the beginning, you know, they put up Weird Al Yankovic. Everybody cheers. UHF. Everybody cheers. And Michael Richards. It's like, what do we do? But people, for the most part, kind of cheered. Everybody gets cheers, right? Until they get to Victoria Jackson. And one guy goes, boo. It was phenomenal. That's so
perfect.
It was almost the biggest laugh of the movie, but maybe because I've seen that movie 50 times already. But that was a lot of fun. And we don't get a ton of those kinds of screenings here in Chicago. Sure. Like New York and LA, that kind of stuff happens all the time.
Thanks a lot, Doug.
Yeah, Chicago, it doesn't happen as much. So when it does, we have to take advantage of it. I was ramping up to Junesploitation, and I was being impatient, so I started watching just weird exploitation movies even before June started, not in any of the categories. Like, I didn't watch any movies about eavesdropping. I don't think I watched any Gene Hackman movies, so I didn't.
Did you watch any Girl Robot movies?
Yes. Okay. I watched Cherry 2000. Is that a girl robot?
I can't remember
who the robot is in Cherry 2000. Oh, it's Melanie Griffith. It's not a bad movie, but I feel like.
Boo.
Yeah, well, listen. So I watched Sorceress, which is like a 1982. No, you wouldn't have. It's a Roger Corman production, written by Jim Wynorski, directed by Jack Hill, sort of, but not really. Jack Hill, great exploitation filmmaker, made Spider Baby, made Coffee, made Switchblade Sisters, made all these movies that I love.
Yeah.
And then made Sorceress in the early 80s, but apparently kind of turned in a cut that was like over 2 hours long and filled with. He was into this weird religion at the time, and so it was filled with all of his weird religion. So they hacked all that out of it. And he walked off the movie. So then they had to go back and shoot like an extra 10 minutes because the movie wasn't long enough.
Sure.
There's a whole interview about it on the Blu-ray. Jim Wynorski gives a whole interview about it. But it's, you know.
It's about a little girl that grew up and turned into a sorceress.
It's about two girls, twins, Playboy centerfolds, Lynette and Lee Harris.
Only the best.
Twin sister Playboy models. So there's ample nudity in the film, but very much just kind of that early 80s Conan ripoff fantasy. Yeah.
Right. Red Sonja, sort of.
Yeah. Not even like with the production value of Red Sonja. Kind of fun, but a little bit draggy and like, hey, for a 78-minute movie, this feels long.
Sure.
And the Harris sisters, listen, not the best actresses. I think there's a reason they didn't go on to have huge careers.
Well,
although, were they in Bicentennial Man? I can't remember who played.
We'll have to ask Alex.
The robots. No, Ex Machina.
Oh, I mean.
He thinks he wrote about Ex Machina. I watched a documentary, but not about anything. So, Junesploitation centered. It was a documentary about Italian cannibal films called Eaten Alive.
Cannibals.
The Rise and Fall of the Italian Cannibal Film. And it's basically a bonus feature on Grindhouse Releasing's new Blu-ray of Cannibal Ferox. I don't know a ton about the Italian cannibal subgenre.
Who does?
And one of the scholars interviewed, I mean, it's really only like six talking heads. And
sure.
Many of them are kind of dismissive of it. And one of them at the end says, you can't even really call it a genre. It was more of like a cycle. It was like a couple of these movies popped up and then they went away for good. Until now, Eli Roth is trying to bring it back with The Green Inferno, which was supposed to come out last September, got pulled a few weeks before. It has just been announced that Blumhouse will now be releasing it this September. 1 year after its original date.
Should we be excited?
Probably not.
Okay.
But I'll see it because I'm kind of an expert on Italian cannibal films now. I've seen Eaten Alive, The Rise and Fall of the Italian Cannibal
Look,
Film.
Look, you can be quoted on posters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can be, if someone's making a crackpot documentary,
yeah.
That's you, dude.
I'm the guy.
Patrick Bromley of this movie.
I want to be one of these talking head experts in a documentary, but they don't seem to be shot in Chicago.
Right, they're all dismissive about it, and so one of them will be like, yeah.
Somebody fly out to Chicago and make me the talking head. Like, if you're going to do like a retrospective documentary on cuffs,
right?
Like, if someone doesn't call me...
You've been waiting.
...and ask me to talk about cuffs,
listen, everybody, Patrick's been waiting.
Yes!
He doesn't want to come out and say it because he's kind of a shy guy, but he really wants to be a cuffs documentarian.
Yes!
You just have to understand. He's
waiting. I don't even need to make the documentary. I just want to be... featured in the documentary.
He's
I want to be interviewed about cuffs.
By the phone.
Yes.
Reach out to us.
My phone doesn't work.
Come on.
My phone's broken.
We're on Stitcher. We're on Twitter. We're on
Facebook.
I'm
saving that for the end now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Somebody complained. Last movie I'll talk about, I was going to review and then watched it and said, I'm not going to review that.
No, life's too short.
Well, originally that was going to be Aloha. Like, I was planning to, Adam Riske and I sometimes will talk about, like, okay, you take this, I'll take this. And I wanted to do Aloha, and then the reviews started being really terrible. So I was like, oh, you know what? I haven't seen it yet, and the reviews are so bad, I don't want to pile on. So I told Adam, like, you see it, and because he was going to see it anyway.
Yeah.
If you really love it, you should write the review, because at least we'll be saying something different.
Sure.
He did not really love it at all.
Oh.
So then I was like, well, then no one should review it. But then I did see it, and I was like, well, I got to write something. So it's not really a proper review, but it's...
It's really good. I read it this morning.
Well, thank you.
I like it.
So then, when I wasn't going to do Aloha, I watched a movie on video on demand called Barely Lethal, and it is the follow-up. I want to say the guy's name is Kyle Newman. Help me out. The guy that made the kids.
You're asking for help, and I just cannot give.
Come on, man! He wrote a whole thing about it. The kids that want to see Star Wars, and one of them's dying of cancer, and then they took all the cancer stuff out of it.
I forgot about it.
Yeah, what do you?
I do. That does sound familiar, but I don't know.
Yes,
the name.
No, it's a whole movie, and I'm blanking on the title.
Is it Bicentennial Man?
Can you vamp for 1 second so I can look it up?
Absolutely, vamp
all
about
of these
it.
Horrible titles are coming to mind, but not the real title, and it's making me nuts.
I don't think that just seems like super, super specific in terms of a documentary.
It's not a documentary.
Also, I feel like I'm pronouncing the word documentary wrong. I'm saying documentary.
Documentary.
I know.
Fanboys.
I'm Canadian.
It's called Fanboys.
Oh, well, how could you remember a title
so
like that?
So Kyle Newman made Fanboys, then I think didn't make a movie for years, and now made Barely Lethal, which stars Hailee Steinfeld as a teenage assassin who quits the life because she watches a bunch of teen movies like Mean Girls and stuff and wants to have a high school experience. So she goes to high school pretending to be a regular teenager. All along, she's actually an assassin, and her old bosses come looking for her. And she has a rival played by Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones.
What? This is such a far-fetched...
It's not a good movie. Samuel L. Jackson is in it because
he saw someone
with a camera.
Right.
Jessica Alba shows up for like two scenes, which is never a good idea. She plays like the main bad guy.
Is she a cannibal? No.
I wish. Here's the thing. It's not the worst movie. Like, I was really not liking it for a long time. And then there are some things that kind of win me over. The reason to see it, and I'm not recommending that you see it, but if you're ever like, well, it's on and I don't have to be anywhere, or I'm really sick, or I have a lot of broken bones and can't change the channel.
I just had some wisdom teeth taken out.
Yes, and there's only one station coming in, and it happens to be showing Barely Lethal. Here's why you should watch it. Hailee Steinfeld. She is very, very charming, and, you know, she kind of popped with True Grit, and everyone was like, wow, who is that? And then she's shown up in stuff, but she's usually kind of like, I'm the surly daughter.
Yeah.
I know she was just in Pitch Perfect 2. I haven't seen Pitch Perfect 2, but I haven't seen her do another movie where I was like, oh, yeah, that's who we saw in True Grit. And I feel like this movie is that. I think she's kind of funny in a way that we haven't seen her be before. She was very likable. She really carries the movie. I don't think the movie really works. It's there's too much action, and he's not very good at staging action. It's all done, you know, with green screen, and so it looks and feels real cheap. But she's really good in it.
Is this Kyle Newman's second movie?
I would have to turn around and use IMDb again. No, and last time we vamped, you started pronouncing documentary wrong.
Look,
I don't know what's going to happen.
It's like I'm Canadian or something. In Canada, they don't have zombies, eh? We don't make movies about Star Wars. Saul's going to get on my ass about being Canadian just for a second.
This is his second feature. He has done TV and directed like some music video kinds of things, like for Taylor Swift.
Sure.
And Lana Del Rey.
Did you like Fanboys? Or I don't know. I'm assuming that you watched
it. I haven't seen it in years.
Okay.
I remember not loving it, but I remember reading Heath's piece and gaining more appreciation for it, maybe. And also, I mean, I know that movie went through crazy production. I mean, they literally cut out Miramax ordered a, it's about like these friends who want to take their friend who's dying of cancer to sneak in to steal a cut of the Phantom Menace, to sneak into Skywalker Ranch and see Phantom Menace before the friend dies, right? Miramax orders a cut like without the cancer, get rid of all the cancer stuff, like that's the movie,
right?
So it went through, it was delayed for years and people are petitioning release his cut and blah blah blah. So it's not even at this point, I don't even know if you can judge what the movie is, you know, because it was so screwed up in the process. Want to talk about Doomsday?
Yeah, let's do it.
I know that this has been recommended by a listener, possibly more than one, and I tried to do my due diligence and find out who had recommended it. So I was searching through our email. I was looking through some old tweets, some old Facebook messages. As I was saying to Mark before we turned the mics on, there's almost too many ways to get a hold of us and request shows now, so I can't just go to one spot.
Yep.
If you want to request a show, I would suggest doing it via our email, fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. That way I can just literally type in the search word and it'll pop up. So I apologize. If you recommended, if you asked for a show on Doomsday, here it is. I don't remember who you are, and I apologize.
And please take credit in the
But I looked for it.
Comments.
I looked for who it was, because I wanted to call you out by name, but I feel like somebody did request this, and it seemed like the right time between Fury Road and Doomsploitation. It seemed like the time to talk about Doomsday.
Let's do it.
All right. You had said, right before we started recording, you were watching this movie, and you realized you confuse it with a lot of other movies.
Yeah.
What? We're going to be spoiling Doomsday, by the way, if you haven't seen it yet. Check it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
So this movie fits really in the sweet spot of a bunch of action movies that I tend to watch or gravitate toward while I'm doing something else.
Got it.
At my house. So folding laundry, shredding documents, burying
How often are you
bodies
shredding
in the basement. Oh, that's probably not something I should say. I shred documents. There's so much junk mail that I get. I actually made a list of other similar movies. I don't know if I want to give away all these.
Well, so did Neil Marshall right before he made this movie.
Probably.
No, for real.
So the movie that I realized I was confusing this one with primarily, and it's because of the movie poster artwork. So if you've seen a poster of this movie, you probably remember that there's like a picture of, it's not Rona. Rona Meacher's on the, I don't think she's on the poster
she's
at all.
She's not.
Even though she's the main character.
Sort of warrior woman, which is a very striking image.
Right. Super cool. Like she's all painted up.
But
like, that's the one I remember.
Very much like a supporting character.
Yeah. And there's a similar character in a different movie called, is it Centurion?
Centennial Man?
Oh. No. Is it Centurion? That's the one with Michael Fassbender, and then they're being hunted by Olga Kurylenko.
Yes, that is correct.
Is that the Centurion?
That's Centurion. Yeah.
And so, but the all I remember is like there's a girl with her face painted who like kills
people.
That's
the one, yeah.
And so I got those two movies mixed up a little bit. So Patrick's like, hey, let's do, how about a podcast on Doomsday? Because Bicentennial Man was already written and taken. We were going to ride that joke into the ground. That's fine.
We did it at least 10 minutes ago.
It's fine. And so I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, I've already seen that movie. And then I realized I was looking for Doomsday, and I was like, oh, I haven't seen this movie in a long time at all, actually, because I was thinking of Centurion.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. So there's that.
So you rewatched it.
I did.
Or watched it for the first time.
I think I've seen it before, but again, it was this very sort of distracted kind of way as I was in the middle of doing other things.
So what'd you think?
I mean, how do you say this? I've decided to be kind.
All right.
Even though I'm tired, and usually when I get tired, I get a little salty and cranky. But I've decided to be kind, and it's okay. It's fine. I feel stupid for saying that because that's like your thing. Because I mean, I can't say that. Well, this is a piece of garbage, and then like I'm the guy that loves Chronicles of Riddick. Like, with
true,
just be quiet.
True. By the way, have you seen trailers for The Last Witch Hunter yet?
No.
Oh my god.
Tell me about The Last Witch Hunter.
It's the new Vin Diesel movie. It comes out around Halloween. I think that's what it's called, The Last Witch Hunter. It doesn't look good, but he's wearing this like big fur coat, and the last shot is just like him holding a flaming sword, I believe.
Wow.
And that's that well, here's my $10.
Yep. I'll see you there.
You had me.
Okay.
At Vin Diesel flaming sword.
You let me know if you want to see it Friday night or Saturday morning. I'll be there. But then no, and I was making a list of movies that I felt like were sort of similar or had,
yeah,
like, you know, felt the same. Like, so the Death Race, the Jason
Statham. Oh, the bad remake?
The bad remake.
Okay.
Like that one, like,
okay.
Resident Evil, like D13.
Okay.
In Time, Babylon 80, speaking of Vin Diesel, like the Sylvester Stallone Judge Dredd. I was like, I love, not love, but like all those movies I find enjoyment from. So how can I take a dump on this movie?
This is fascinating to me that that's the list.
I put
this is
all
the category.
Of those in the same
and
category.
I don't even know that I totally disagree with you. I want to, like, fundamentally, I want to say, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
But you're not totally wrong.
Sure.
Because here's the thing. I remember when the trailers came out for this movie, and I was having a conversation with Doug, and back then, this what, came out in 2008?
Yes.
Okay. So back then, I think Doug was not as much into kind of the Jewsploitation-y movies as he is now. I think
sure.
Jewsploitation has helped kickstart
a
love of...
him.
Exactly. L.A. has changed him more than we have, let's be honest.
It's the smog.
Yeah.
Plastic surgery.
So I remember having a conversation, and he had seen the trailer, and he was like, oh my god, that looks horrible. And I had seen the trailer, and I was like, what? No, that looks awesome.
Agree.
That's every movie I love smashed into one movie, right?
Yeah.
And that's the hook. That's the thing. Neil Marshall says, hey, do you like Escape from New York and The Road Warrior and 28 Days Later and 20 other movies?
Yeah.
Like, here they are, all Excalibur, and like, here they are, all smashed into one crazy movie. And I feel like even though 2008 is only 7 years ago, like, that kind of thing wasn't as quite as popular.
Yeah.
I think even since then, like, the first thing I noticed when I was rewatching this was that it uses the John Carpenter font at the beginning. And I was pointing out a year or two ago, as all these new indie horror movies were coming out, they were all using the John Carpenter font.
Yeah.
And for a second, you're like, oh, that's awesome. Yeah, this guy knows the value of the John Carpenter font. He knows the feelings that he wants to instill in you. And then 10 movies did it, and you're like, all right, everybody stop with the fucking synthesizer music and the John Carpenter font. So this movie is a little bit ahead of its time in the way that it's pulling from influences that not everyone was quoting quite yet.
Yeah.
I think it's become a lot more popular just in the last 5 years. And I saw it, and I wanted to love it, and I didn't quite. And so I keep going back to it, always wanting to love it, and I never quite do. And so I think this podcast is going to be a weird autopsy on, like, why don't we love this movie that we should love?
Is this an intervention?
Maybe.
For both of
but
us?
But for who?
For both of us.
For Alex.
For Neil Marshall.
For Neil Marshall, yeah. Who I think is great and super talented, and his heart is in the right place.
Yeah, I know you, you really like The Descent.
Oh, my God. Have you seen The Descent?
I haven't, because I'm a coward.
The Descent, listen,
I'm always
trying to turn you on to horror movies and be like, no, give these a chance. The Descent is genuinely terrifying, so don't see The Descent.
But see, okay.
I'm not scared by anything.
Right.
I can't handle The Descent. it's really
see,
good.
See, I feel like The Descent is the kind of horror movie that I could, I'm not saying I could handle it, I'm just saying I would watch it, because it's more, it's like a monster movie kind of, right?
Yeah, but
it's
that's not like the fear that it's playing on, at least for me. Are you claustrophobic at all?
A little bit.
Okay.
I understand claustrophobia.
Okay. That's the issue that I had even more than the monsters.
Yeah.
Like, the monsters are scary, whatever,
sure.
But I was scared way before a single monster showed up, because they're just in this cave.
Yeah,
it's most claustrophobic.
I think it's a movie I could actually, it's like the supernatural stuff that freaks me out.
No, that stuff's all nonsense. Cave monsters are real. Ghosts are fake.
Don't you understand that they're in the cave?
Claustrophobia is a thing.
Right, they wait
cave
for you.
Cave monsters are a thing.
They wait for you in the caves. That's why I never leave my house. No, what were we talking about? Neil Marshall.
Sure.
I also feel like Neil Marshall is, and I looked up his filmography.
He's only made like 3 features, right?
Yeah, and he did, I think he's best known for doing an episode of Game of Thrones.
A couple, and it's like the big battle ones.
Yeah, and he did a nice job with those. And
yeah.
I think
there's going to be a shit ton of action if Neil Marshall is directing.
I think the hallmarks of that are, you can see that in Doomsday. But and he did The Descent, which I've heard you talk about before and you really liked.
And Dog Soldiers.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. So I think he's a he has some sort of competence to it, but if he's handing in a portfolio to somebody and saying like, okay, here's my best stuff.
Okay.
I don't know if Doomsday makes the cut.
Okay.
Maybe 5 minutes of Doomsday at the most.
Again, there are people that love this movie. They love it. And so I'm not saying anyone's wrong for loving it because I get it. It's paying tribute to so many great things that, again, I should love. There's visual quotes from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre inside of this John Carpenter movie, inside of this George Miller movie. I mean, it's like inside of this George Romero movie. So all of the movies and the directors that I really love and that excite me are jammed into this movie. It should be the best thing ever. And I'm trying to figure out why it's not. Over the weekend, our friend Saul Ott, a loyal and wonderful Canadian F-head, had been asking about, like, hey, what's a movie that has, I think, cars and cannibals? And this movie was in my head because I knew that we were going to do this show. And so I said, well, Doomsday has cars and cannibals. And he responded something along the lines of, oh, cool, I want to listen to you guys talk about that. Or some, I think it was like, cool, you guys are so handsome, I really love your voices. Can you hang out?
It's really creepy, Saul.
It wasn't. I mean,
you're crossing some boundaries.
No, it was really nice. It was like, I consider you a little bit of a personal hero. Will you be my dad? And I was like, yeah, I'll be your dad.
I wish he said those things and wasn't touching my leg while he was saying
what
it
was. Was like, yeah, that I keep going back to that movie wanting to love it, and I'm never sure why I don't. And I read that comment, I was like, yeah, that's how I feel. And even today, I rewatched it wanting to love it, and yet I don't.
We're the abused returning to the abuser.
So what is it? Let's try and figure it out then. Again, if you're somebody who loves Doomsday, I get it. I am not saying anyone is wrong for loving this movie. I'm trying to understand why I don't love this movie. I can only speak for myself and maybe you.
I think you should speak for me. I think that partially because when I'm so tired, I start lapsing into accents and it's not good. I think, okay, part of the reason what draws me in is that I like how it looks. I'll say that. I like all the crazy, like post-apocalyptic, like rage monster, beggar, crazy street people. I love that stuff.
Boil faces.
I like the idea of...
So it should have been called Boil Face. Rona Mitra in Boil Face.
I'm going to lance all your boils. Everything's... There's going to be pus everywhere.
Yeah.
Ugh, delicious pus. And I kind of like the idea that he wants to... I think I read somewhere that Neil Marshall was like, I wanted to see what would happen if I mixed like modern soldiers and pitted them against medieval knights, which I thought was like, oh, that kind of makes sense. But I'm like, that also kind of doesn't make any sense because modern soldiers with weapons would not, I don't know, like they would destroy medieval knights. It wouldn't make any sense. Like those guys have swords, those guys have guns.
It just happens like the length of one sequence too. That's not really like what the movie is.
Yeah, I guess.
It's just
so,
the weird Malcolm McDowell like Heart of Darkness section,
which I kind of, and you know what, I sort of liked that part, probably because Malcolm McDowell has some energy and some charm and some gravitas. But that part of the movie is like, it's like, I don't know, it's like 70 minutes in. I'm like, why did it take us so long to get here?
Yeah. So one thing that I noticed, again, I'm trying to get to the bottom of what it is that's holding me back from loving this movie. One of the things I noticed up front is this movie has a crazy amount of exposition in the opening.
It takes so long.
Because not only are they trying to set up, like, this disease broke out, and then they quarantined, and the soldiers started killing people, and then there were people left for dead, and then they all went crazy and feral, and they turned on each other, and then they started cannibalizing one another. And on top of that, we also have to set up, like, here's how Rona Mitra lost her eye, here's how she was raised by the...
Who knows?
The police, the army, whatever. She grew up, you know, kind of a soldier. Here's how she was separated from her mom. Like, that stuff isn't all that interesting to me. It doesn't. I don't really think it informs the character that much. Like, they could have just as easily introduced her on that first mission.
Right.
And
that would have been enough.
We would have known, okay, she's missing an eye. I don't need to know how she lost it.
But it's cool that she has a missing eye.
She could pull out the thing from her mom every once in a while. I don't need to know that her mom put her on a helicopter.
Right.
Like, trying to set both of those things up simultaneously, to me, really makes that it's such a huge, long exposition dump.
Yeah, and it's so many...
Right off the bat.
And it's just so many shortcuts are taken.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Yeah. It's, like, this is where movies that go in this direction are expected to go, and so they kind of do sort of, like, the bare minimum of, like, oh, well, look, it's a disease, and so we have to show people, like, pushing against a fence, and then soldiers unfairly shooting at them, even though there's, like, no real reason for them to shoot at them.
They got boil faces.
I'm going to lance your boil.
Just the one dude.
With this.
And then he gets the blood on the other people, and they're like, not cool, bro.
Yeah, what are you doing? Or even how, like, Rona Meacher's, like, little girl character gets rescued. A soldier just voluntarily gets off the helicopter and is like, you put the girl on. And it's like, it's a sacrifice for what? What are you sacrificing? Like, it doesn't make any sense why he would even do that. And so it's all these, like, shortcuts crammed. Because I think he is trying to, like, cram in all these things that you were saying. He takes some shortcuts that don't always work. But what's weird is that shortcuts should make things go faster.
Right.
But the movie just feels so long. Like, it just takes forever to get to the place that is sort of interesting.
And it always happens where at some point about halfway through, it starts to become kind of white noise to me. And it shouldn't. Again, it's...
Right.
It's calling upon all of my favorite things, and yet it starts to wash over me. And I'm trying to figure out if it has to do with the fact that while he's got the car chases from Road Warrior and the crazy punk dudes, you know, I mean, that one guy is basically just playing Vernon Wells, right?
Yeah.
He's got Snake Plissken as the lead, only it's like a hot girl.
Sure.
He's got the crazy zombie outbreak, even though they're not zombies, they're just infected, whatever, you know. So he's got all these things that I like. And yet the movie, I think my issue from the first time I saw it, it's not that it has too modern a sensibility, because I understand he's not trying to imitate those filmmakers. He's trying to pay homage to them, like, to such a degree that it's essentially just a big mixtape, but done through the prism of Neil Marshall, right? And I think that's where the breakdown is for me. It's the way that Neil Marshall actually approaches the material, which sucks because I'm a fan of Neil Marshall, but the way that the movie is cut together, I don't particularly like. I don't really like the way the action is handled. Again, we go back to Fury Road, and one of the things that's so great, I mean, for as manic as that movie is, it's very clean. The action is very, very clean.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
And Carpenter shoots really clean action, and Miller shoots really clean action. And Neil Marshall doesn't, at least not here.
Yeah.
I think he does on Game of Thrones. I think that's why they call on him to do it.
Yeah.
I don't think he does as much in Doomsday. So you have, like, this loud kind of metal on the soundtrack. It's not really. It's like orchestra. But and it's a little bit too frenetic. It never has the right energy for me. To click, it's so that it's just showing me a bunch of things that remind me of things that I love, but it never gives me the feeling of those same things. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Okay.
I think, in terms of the way that he shoots the action, it feels like it just feels like a different guy, and maybe that's fair. Because this was 2008, and then he did all this other stuff later. He's a different director now. He's learned different things or whatever.
He did TV later. He did all the other stuff before that.
It just like the action feels sort of, like you were saying, frenetic, but also, like, I can't keep track. Like, it's like he doesn't know, like, the camera doesn't know where it's supposed to be, sort of, or like there's all this extra, like, extraneous movement added to it. Like, we never get to, it's all that, like, stupid, like, fast cutting bullshit where you, like, everything's shaking, you can't see anything. So it just feels like he didn't know how to film the action necessarily.
Well, it's like he doesn't give you the thing to care about. And I don't even necessarily mean the characters, although I would argue that there aren't really any characters worth caring about. I mean, he's very much trying to do Snake Plissken as a woman, which I can appreciate, because when you think about the Rona Meacher character, it could be a man or a woman.
Yeah.
So I like that he went with a woman, you know, because we don't normally see that. So that's great. But she's not Snake Plissken. She's not, like, super cool badass anti-hero. She's just, like, pretty lady with an eye patch.
Right.
I don't really care about the characters, but he doesn't give me moments and images to really care about either. With the exception of, okay, did you watch this, like, on DVD or Blu-ray?
No, I watched it online.
Okay.
Just rented it from Amazon.
Do you know if it was the unrated or the R-rated?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay. I have the Blu-ray, and it's the unrated cut, and it's insanely violent. And those are the moments. And I'm a fan of movie violence. I love action movies and horror movies. So that's what those are. Those are the only moments for me that kind of click where he knows, because again, directors have to know how to pick their moments, right? Yeah. And I don't think he totally does, with the exception of there's a few things here and there. The one main Vernon Wells dude, like on stage singing Fine Young Cannibals, like,
well, that was
a great image.
That was
funny. It's so on the nose. Yeah. It's like, okay. But I like the use of that song. It's just once you realize who sings it, you get kind of irritated that, like, okay, that was not really thinking outside the box, guys. And yet, the image of them setting Sean Pertwee on fire is, like, so disturbing.
Yeah.
Any moment of violence is like, holy shit. Yeah. Like, it's hardcore. And those are the things that really pop to me. And I want it to be stuff other than that, you know, or at least that plus some other stuff, a stunt, a visual. Every once in a while you get something, you know, early on we get the soldiers backlit against the smoke. And it's like, it's a striking image. He doesn't hold it very long enough for me to really, like, admire it. So the movie is just a little bit too manic and doesn't pick its moments to care about.
I kind of feel like... remembering those moments of where, like, a guy gets splattered on the road, or some dude, cause, like, somebody's head gets taken off, that kind of stuff.
And it's all done practically, and it's very messy.
And I kind of like, you know, I'm with you. I like that part, that stuff too, the most. I sort of wish, well, maybe, I don't know. Like, if the whole, like, if the, I don't know if this would be a good movie, but I think if the movie had more of that stuff, I think it'd be more interesting.
More head crushings and stuff?
Sure. Well, that...
just wall-to-wall splatters.
Yeah, right, all the time.
Well, I think... I don't mean to interrupt you, but for me, that's the... You know how I said it doesn't really, like, remind me of the stuff that I love from the 80s that he's paying tribute to, or it doesn't give me the feeling? That stuff does.
Yeah.
That's how they shot gore and violence in the 80s. It was always, like, a little bit too graphic, a little bit too nasty, all done practically. Like, it has a very... 80s feel when it comes to the violence.
Yeah.
And so that's one aspect where it's like, oh yeah, that's, he got that part right.
Yeah.
And everything else just feels like generic 2000s.
Sure.
The Death Race remake. Yeah. It feels too much like the Death Race remake. I don't want it to feel like the Paul W.S. Anderson.
Yeah, it's the same, like, sort of empty. I know. Yeah. That's why I was thinking of, like, Resident Evil and stuff too.
Yeah.
I was sort of, no, this is maybe horrible to say, I was sort of wishing I was watching Resident Evil too.
That is horrible to say.
It is horrible to say.
Is it just strong female lead? Zombie outbreak?
No, it's sort of like the palette. It's sort of like the
weird,
like, they have to find their way out of things, and there's
laser grids that cut people up. No, there was none of those.
Crazy little girls.
Weird dogs.
Yeah,
that
I don't
Mila
know. I just sort of, I sort of wish that that it was that sort of level of intensity. It just, this movie just felt like it was constant. Like, we have to go from this place to this other place to this other place to this other place to this other place, and not that it has. I'm not saying that it has to stay in one place and play something out, but it just felt like it was just sort of, there was no point in staying somewhere because they were constantly escaping one thing to get into a train, to get into a car, to get into this other thing.
And I feel like some of that is necessitated by the fact that Neil Marshall wants to pay tribute to all these different things. So it's like, well, we got to have a section that becomes a John Borman film. So they got to go to the castle and find Malcolm McDowell so I can do my John Borman homage.
Right.
And that's fine. But then, what happens is it just becomes a series of set pieces. Let's rush from this place to this place. And again, none of them really stand out. None
of them.
It
feels so light. It feels
light. I just don't care about what the mission is, you know? Like, and I understand, listen, it's not a movie where story is key. And I recognize that this is more about, it's almost like a genre exercise. And that's, again, one of the things that I should, or certainly something that makes it a good movie for Junesploitation, because it is paying tribute to all these things. But even in a genre exercise, you have to have enough of a story to care about.
Yeah. And I think that's where I was hoping that maybe some of that, at least violence, at least some sort of, like, whatever, this sort of, and the intensity sort of implied by that level of violence would sort of, like, hold my attention, but it just wasn't enough. I don't know, maybe there just wasn't any room for this, but the main character that we were, not the main character, but the girl on the poster with, like, the face paint and all that stuff, who's sort of in it, seems interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, gets... Spoilers, everybody. We're already into spoilers. Like, she gets taken out of the movie, like, so early. I was like, no! I was sort of looking
forward... She sticks around as a corpse.
Right.
Which is a nice touch.
Which is great. But, like, it's that kind of stuff. It's
and
like,
her death is one of those things that does stand out. Like,
right.
I think he does that scene well.
Yeah.
You know, that fight. And it's like, holy shit.
Right. And that was great, except now you've taken out one of the most interesting
it's like
characters.
When they, it's like when they take Darth Maul out in The Phantom Menace. Like, you're like, guys, what? Why did you do that?
Right, but at least Darth Maul, like, lasted, like, 80% of the movie, whereas this girl lasts for about, like, almost, like, not even half.
Yeah.
I was like, why would you do that? Why would you take one of the most interesting parts of the movie out, Neil? Don't you know your own movie? No, I have to go see Malcolm McDowell, like, in robes and a chain.
Yeah, but it's so worth it, because then they pick up that daughter, and she's so interesting. Have you seen Planet Terror?
No, I have been bits and pieces. I haven't, like, ever sat through a whole thing. Not because I don't want to. Just,
I mean, in theory, I would say, like, I love Planet Terror, and I love Grindhouse, and obviously they both kind of have the same goal in mind, which is to pay tribute to a very specific style of filmmaking, very 80s Carpenter. Yeah. In theory, because I feel like Neil Marshall is a better filmmaker than Robert Rodriguez, and I'm not even positive that's true, because Robert Rodriguez has made some movies that I really like, but a lot that I really don't. So I want to say, well, Neil Marshall's a better filmmaker, but I feel like Planet Terror does what Doomsday is trying to do much better. Not only in that it reminds me of those things that I love, but it also has better characters, and it has a lot of characters, but they all have moments here and there. Maybe it's just because they're played by specific actors. You have Michael Biehn and Jeff Fahey showing up, and Tom Savini, and like people for whom I already have affection, not like, oh, it's Adrian Lester from Primary Colors. So that helps, I'm sure, but like everybody gets a little moment, a reason to like them, a reason to be interested in them. I mean, it's saying something that you and I both are in agreement that the one character who really is memorable and who we're drawn to pretty much doesn't speak and dies halfway through.
Yeah.
And maybe the marketing department knew that too, because she's the face of this movie.
Right.
So I think that says something for the lack of anyone to connect to.
Yeah.
Again, anytime you make that criticism of a movie, somebody will jump down your throat and say, like, well, characters don't have to be likable, or the movie's not about the characters. But, you know, in a way, every movie is at least a little bit about the characters. Like, you have to have a way into this.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just somebody showing you pictures. Like, here's the poster from The Road Warrior. Here's some images from RoboCop, because it's all stuff you like, right? Yeah, great. What are you bringing that's different? And he tries to do a little bit of Neil Marshall, and for whatever reason, that stuff doesn't work for me. But I don't think the characters work. As great as Rhona Mitra looks, and, you know, I like the way she's stylized. She's very pretty, whatever.
Her tactical yoga pants.
Right. And there is that butt shot at the end from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So great. You know, Neil Marshall is rewarding you for having seen a bunch of movies. Okay, that's great. Hey, I get the joke. I'm in.
Right.
But I don't care, and she's not anybody. She's not a person. Like, all we know about her is that she misses her mom, and that comes from that bad prologue that both you and I are saying, like, that probably could have gone.
Right. Oh, man.
I want to love this movie.
I'm so, like, sad.
I can't figure out why I don't, and I don't hate this movie.
Yeah.
Because I watch it every 2 years, maybe?
I kind of wish this movie was one or the other. I kind of wish it was the futuristic whatever, right? We're being chased in a car, that kind of stuff. I sort of wish that...
Even the car stuff is not really... I mean, there's that long like armored car sequence, and then at the end we have another car
chase.
Which is
straight out of Aliens, by the way.
Right.
The armored car thing at the beginning with the Marines and all that stuff. I don't know what else to say.
And then we have the second car chase at the end, and I'm on record as saying I will tune out of almost any car chase. To me, they just become so uninteresting, and it's the rare car chase that I stay on board for. Again, look at Fury Road. That's a 2-hour car chase, and I'm in for all of it, you know, because that's using action to tell the story.
Well, so I think it's unfair too, because I think Fury Road is looming so largely in my mind, and I'm sure in yours. And so watching this was like,
Yeah, but it's but it's, you know, it's the same reaction I've been having since 2008 when I saw this opening weekend when I dragged my wife to go see Doomsday.
Oh, sorry,
because it's like, hey, it's a pastiche of all this shit that you don't care about at all, but I really do because I used to be 13.
Right.
And she's a sport and she'll go, and it's not totally for her, and yet it's for me, and I'm still kind of like, ah, why didn't I like that more? One of the things I read just on the Wikipedia summary. Well, two things. One, this movie opened to less than $5 million and finished with around 11.
Mm.
So there was not an audience for this movie. No. Now, this movie comes out this year, next year. Does it do better?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's just not.
Even with Fury Road in our collective memories?
I think that'll just make it seem, that'll diminish it even more.
Okay.
I feel like it's.
But it would still have a bigger opening weekend, wouldn't it? Like, hey, that looks like this other thing that I liked. I don't know. I don't know how much of Fury Road is expanding beyond our universe, like our universe of genre fanboys.
Sure.
Right?
That's true.
Because that's who I listen to online. That's who I follow on Twitter. That's who I talk
to.
That's
who are friends.
Right. So, and we're all nuts about it, right? Are regular people in the world going to see this movie? I honestly don't know.
That's true.
And so Doomsday is always going to be doomed. You know, it's always going to appeal to just the people it's going to appeal to, which apparently is about $5 million worth. So it did not do particularly well, although I definitely see it as the kind of movie that does well on DVD and on cable, and people kind of catch up with it and they're like, it holy shit, what is this?
Right. You know? It's in that list of movies I listed right at the beginning, actually.
That list is weirdly
it's
accurate.
Such a great, right. It's, I know. That's like a very specific, if I don't have as many shelving units or I don't own as many movies as Patrick does, but I would, that's how I would categorize those. I'd be like, all of these kinds of movies are going
to
go.
And see,
in
those
here.
Movies never enter my mind because I'm always too busy comparing it to the movies that it wants to be compared to.
Sure.
And so I'm always thinking like, well, it reminds me of those in a way, but it's never as good as those. Whereas I think the movies you named, it's like, yeah, it kind of does belong in that category.
Yeah.
As opposed to The Road Warrior and Escape from New York and stuff. One of the other things I read was that Neil Marshall wanted to use a synthesizer score, but ended up using like a Tyler Bates.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
Orchestral I'm laughing. Score. And the thing is, again, in 2008, that's way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Now, every movie has a synthesizer score, right? Because Drive did it.
Sure.
And so now other people do it, or because now all of the new up and coming genre filmmakers are people that are our age and grew up watching John Carpenter movies and Michael Mann movies. And so we all want to put the synth score in the movie. So the first four times I saw a movie do it, I was like, oh my God, that's so great. And now every time a movie has a synth score, I'm like, all right, now you almost have to go the other way just to be original.
Right. Now it's like not stylized enough.
Right. But would I like the movie better if it had a synth score? And I don't say that because, like, oh, it would have been one more thing to remind me of something that I like, right? Mm-hmm. Even though it would have been another cue that would say, like, remember John Carpenter? He was great. Here's Doomsday. But would it maybe have felt like, would it have helped slow the movie down? I don't know. Because I think part of what's too frenetic about the movie is the score.
Yeah.
The editing and the score and the photography, like you said, it's a little bit too much shaky cam. Not holding on shots long enough. And those are kind of my issues with it. So I wonder if a different score would have helped kind of even out the energy of the movie. I don't know. What do you think?
Maybe. I think I did find several times during the movie where I felt like the score was getting in the way a little bit, where I was like, just stop, just turn it down.
Yeah.
I don't want to listen to it. I think just one more thing to add onto your list of things about the movie that sort of take you out of it was just the color, whatever the palette they were choosing.
Okay.
Like, that sort of like default, hey, this is the future palette.
It's kind of washed out.
It's all blues and grays.
It is that Death Race palette.
And I think if it's a little bit different, then I think that's the Resident Evil palette too, by the way. Because the future,
I don't remember Resident Evil looking like that.
The
but
future's
I clearly,
blue.
I don't. I
that's
clearly
the color
need
of
to.
Fluorescent lights.
I clearly need
I don't
to
know
revisit.
What, I don't know what voice that is.
Resident Evil.
No, you don't. Don't.
No, never. I probably don't.
You know what this conversation sort of reminds me of, and I don't know if this is a great direction to go in. We did a podcast way back when about Oblivion.
Yeah.
You remember this?
Yeah.
And
sort of.
We sort of had a similar conversation about how we were both sort of, not that Doomsday is original sci-fi, because
right,
it's not,
right,
but
right.
Oblivion sort of was.
Yeah, in a way.
But then we watched it and we're like, it's not really original because it's just Joseph Kosinski putting together all
right.
these things that he sort of loved. And it sort of feels like this movie is sort of the same thing.
I think this movie is way more upfront about it.
Oh, yeah,
I think this movie exists because Neil Marshall wants to do that and wants you to know he's doing it, which, again, I support. Joseph Kosinski was like trying to pretend like this was his thing.
Right. It was in a much more polished package.
I so was hoping that, like, I was wrong about that movie. And, like, as the year went on, I was like, no, I think that movie was better than I thought. And so when it showed up on cable, I think, or maybe even on Blu-ray, I watched it, like, and my feeling was kind of still the same. Like, I so wanted to.
I feel like that movie's
love it.
I bet that movie's really good in, like, 5 to 10 minute chunks.
Maybe.
Like, I feel like.
Depends on which 5 to 10 minute chunk you get.
That's true. But no, I was just reminded of that conversation because I feel like we're going in the same direction of like, oh, here's a movie that's sort of problematic because it's too many things all squished up into, like, I like ice cream and hot dogs and chicken, but I don't want all of those things at once.
But that's not my issue with Doomsday.
Sure.
Like, I'm okay with the fact that he tried to give me ice cream and hot dogs and chicken all smashed.
Thank you.
The turducken of 80s genre movies that I love. I'm okay with that. It's the package that they come in that is not working for me, which is so, I don't know. That is the most frustrating part because I recognize the movie is never going to be like truly great because it's so unoriginal by design. For me, it's not gonna be truly great for me. Again, I have voices in my head of like people who love this movie and I don't want to take anything away from that. I want to love it. I do. I just can't get there. I don't think I ever will at this point.
I kinda needed more.
More what?
Of anything. I think more of the story of our main character.
Okay.
More of,
like, what if she had looked at the letter, the address, like 4 more times?
Yeah.
That's character development, I think.
That's what I heard.
What if
when people say lines of dialogue saying out their feelings, that's
what if she got more of her coworkers killed?
Oh, that's really terrible.
Yeah, sorry.
What if she was just a badass because she doesn't say a lot of words and she just seems like generally unhappy about things?
Right.
That means she's a badass.
Yeah.
Even though she doesn't prove her fighting at all, really. Except fighting a guy in a 200-pound suit of armor and just running around him, because that's how I would fight him as well. I'm saying that I could fight people in armor, guys, is what I'm saying.
And again, that whole sequence is not great for me. The thing that stands out is, like, the murder-death kill.
Right.
Which just, again, speaks to this idea that, like, the things that, for me, that Neil Marshall really gets are those moments of horrible, brutal, violence.
Yeah.
Because almost every one of them is still an image that I could conjure up in my head right now, even if I didn't want to, because sometimes it's really unpleasant.
Yeah.
And yet those are the things that stick out, not any of, like, the story beats, not any character stuff, what little bit there is, not even necessarily very many shots. It's literally just the violence that stands out.
That it just kind of goes, and it's, I think that's why it really works for me as a movie to watch when I'm in the middle of something else.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I'm as caught up in those concerns normally, because it's, here's something that I'm seeing sort of not at full attention, and it's things that are familiar, and I kind of know where it's going. And
Right.
Oh, there's some, you know, things exploding, there's some things fighting, there's some familiar things that I'm used to seeing. So I think that's why it works on that level. But I think now that I turned my full attention to this, now I'm not realizing that this movie is not Centurion.
Which, like, I also don't love, by the way.
Right,
which
I
is Neil Marshall.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Shut up.
Yeah. He has made a movie.
Wait.
After. How did we forget this? I'm going to look it up and confirm.
Okay, go for
it. I'm almost positive the only reason I was interested in seeing that movie is because it was Neil Marshall. And here we've been saying, well, he's just on TV since then. He absolutely did Centurion, which is the movie that he confused it with, because he's repeating a lot of things that he did in Doomsday, including Warrior Woman.
But I think this is why I like Centurion better, because Centurion is like just that part where it's like the Malcolm McDowell part.
It's more focused.
Yeah, I think that's why I liked it some more. Is Michael Fassbender in that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's why too. Because I love me some Fassbender. Fassbender all day. And I think that's why I kind of liked it, because it must have been why I liked it, because it just sort of was a little bit more focused, a little bit more just about this one part and not trying to, I don't know.
100%, it's Neil Marshall. I can't believe it took us. I feel people's so heads were exploding stupid when we were talking about this earlier and not remembering that it was Neil Marshall. But it is Neil Marshall.
Look,
everyone,
guys, I'm really tired.
So we're sorry that we didn't catch that earlier when the name, it's not even like you guys forgot that he directed another movie. We talked about the other movie. Forgot that it was also the director of the movie we spent 40 minutes talking
That's
about.
That's how I thought it was. No, here's the explanation, guys. I thought it was the other Neil Marshall.
See, the fact that it's just about the one thing is almost less appealing to me, because I think I feel about the same way about the two movies. Because my issue with Doomsday is not that it tries to cover too much. It's the way that it covers too much.
Sure.
I like that it tries to cover too much. Yeah.
It just felt like there just wasn't enough, like it just wasn't a strong enough flavor.
Okay. So yeah.
I'm very focused on food. I'm really hungry, apparently. Like it just wasn't enough of the one flavor, the one kind of thing, which I kind of would have, or I don't know, would like to dwell on.
Or even just a take on any of it. Like there doesn't seem to have like any kind of point of view about the story it's telling or about the things that it's, I don't know.
Right.
We're not quite nailing it, I feel like. We're not quite getting there. So this is...
Maybe that's the story of the movie, that it's just like it's just in this like unhappy, ambiguous place within our like souls, and we can't like file it away anywhere. Like, this is where you live. I don't know.
So this ends up being kind of in that mid-level sci-fi for you?
Sure.
What's top tier? What's great?
Oh, top tier would be like Blade Runner.
Okay.
Like... 2001.
Okay.
It'd be, oh goodness.
Easy.
Sorry, is that a microphone? Yeah. There's microphones in here? I thought it was just us in your basement. You know, Star Wars, that kind of stuff.
Okay. What's bottom tier?
Bottom tier would be freaking, good God, what was that? You guys did a podcast on this. It's freaking like Event Horizon.
Oh yeah, that movie's not very good. I'd put it closer to middle than bottom, but
oh, yeah.
I don't know what bottom would be.
What's bottom for you? What's like a really crappy sci-fi? It's probably not even like a movie. It's probably just stuff that like you see on like.
Well, no, it's got to be a movie. I mean, Paul W. Anderson's stuff is not great. I mean, Alien versus Predator,
like that. If we're gonna call that sci-fi Uwe stuff,
sure.
I don't know if he does sci-fi. I forget.
I gotta say, I'm not the world's biggest fan of Kurt Wimmer, and so I don't love Ultraviolet. And I don't love Equilibrium.
Oh, Ultraviolet. Equilibrium has. And I know that it's not good, but it does. I have a tender spot for Equilibrium.
Okay.
Because Gunkata, everybody. Because that was a word that I know now. It's going to be in the future. I'm going to have grandchildren. I'll be like, do you guys know about Gunkata?
Shut up. I clearly need to see it again. But my memory was that
you don't need to see it. Really.
Not great.
It's just because I saw it with my friend who was so excited to get it. I'm sure I told this story before. I'm so sorry that I'm an old man who has echolalia and repeats all of his stories. He just got it for $3 at Walmart or something. And so he was so excited about his find. And that, like, for $3... he got his $3 worth. And,
oh, for sure.
You know, so we were sort of happy about that. Ultraviolet, I hadn't thought about in a long time. That is a piece of garbage.
It's really not good.
It's like they put Vaseline on my television and I had to watch the movie through it. But this is a fascinating conversation.
Yeah,
bottom tier
sci-fi. I'm trying to figure out
what's the real
garbage? A lot of people would say Babylon AD.
A lot of people would say
I don't hate it.
In Time, and I don't hate.
I haven't seen
In
Time, but the trailers made me laugh with how much they tried to talk about money as currency.
It is. I kind of like the idea, though.
It's ridiculous.
It sort of doesn't go anywhere, though.
It's ridiculous.
Spoilers for In Time, everybody.
Okay.
That time is money. Did you know that?
That's a spoiler.
How do you feel about Judge Dredd?
The Stallone one?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a long time. My memory is that it was like okay when I saw it, like not good, but watchable, you know?
Sure.
And I feel like I could watch it if it showed up on cable, but then I remember like a lot of Rob Schneider stuff and I'm less tempted to watch it.
Cartoonish.
Yeah. I saw it opening night. I did a double feature. I want to say, I might have this wrong. I feel like I saw that and the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie in the same night. because I was...
You take me to such new places.
I was, like, in high school, and it was Friday night, and I would rather be at two bad movies by myself than anywhere.
What people don't understand is that I don't see Patrick super often, and actually when we do get together is to do these podcasts, and so it takes place of our like normal friendly interaction, and this is the podcast is where I get to find out
how we get to know each other,
this, like, information.
How I find out that you've been kidnapped, how you find out I saw Power Rangers opening night. I didn't watch the show, by the way. I was not a Power Rangers fan and was like, I need to go see this movie. I had never seen an episode of the show.
You just thought this was okay.
I saw the movie opening night.
What a strange place to begin watching it.
I literally do not remember 1 second of it. I barely remember the experience of seeing it, much less.
Well, that's okay.
A frame of the movie.
I think that says everything you need to know about it.
Yeah. Bottom tier.
What was... I tried watching D13, and not that it's bad, I just couldn't get through...
I think I liked the first one.
Yeah, I think you were telling me about it.
I don't remember the second one.
Yeah, I just... It was...
Ultimatum, is I think that the
it was
second
like,
one?
I don't know. I think it was just like not the right time for me to see it.
Luc Besson is responsible for some real garbage.
I know, we talk about Luc Besson so much, actually.
Well, he's a towering figure in the world
He's a Napoleon!
Of genre filmmaking.
Of science fiction.
I'm trying to think of some other real garbage.
All the ones that I'm trying to think of garbage are just like, yeah, that's a movie I would put on while I'm doing my laundry.
Like what?
And have. No, all these movies that we're talking
about.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Doomsday is better than a lot of those, I think.
Yeah, I think I would put it, I wouldn't say it's better, I don't think, but I wouldn't say that it's worse than all of those either. All
right.
You know, and it's fine. Gosh, what is a real piece of garbage? This is so difficult. Oh, what was what was the Wing Commander? That Wing
I
Commander
never saw
movie?
Wing Commander.
I never
even
did
though
either.
It was the Lillard Prinze Jr. reunion that so many of us
joint
were looking for. Those two worked together a lot, right? Because Scooby Doo 1 and 2.
Yeah,
She's All That.
Look, if you were in movies, and
Wing Commander,
and you could be in movies with Doug all the time, wouldn't you say yes to that?
Is Doug the Lillard or the Prinze Jr.?
I'm going to let you two
situation.
I'm going to let you two gentlemen figure that out.
I almost don't know if I could.
I don't want to cause a domestic issue right now. That was not my intention. When I saw I think Wing Commander came out like way back when. I felt like I was in early high school, maybe. And even back then, when I was in I was like 13, 14, 15. Even I knew. I was like, this is going to be a piece of garbage. There's no way that I want to watch this. Have you seen Doom? Speaking of Doomsday, have you seen Doom?
I really don't
with
like
The
Doom.
Rock?
I really don't like it. And I know
yeah,
some
looks
people do.
Not good. It was the 20 minutes I remember catching it on television. This is not
so
good.
Did not like that. Again, I don't think a good movie has ever been made from a video game. And I know there are people who would disagree with me. But I have yet to see it.
Have you seen the Hitman? Speaking of video games, have you seen the Hitman movies?
No, but I never played any of the games either. I know they made a sequel to Hitman, because why? I don't know. Did people see Hitman? I also never saw Max Payne. To me, those movies
are the same. Max Payne was the other one, yeah. It seems to be the same. Although there's some like weird supernatural elements of Max Payne that I don't understand, especially when you mix the supernatural with Mark Wahlberg.
That was the thing that made me kind of want to go see it, was the supernatural aspect.
I was
but,
like, wait. Gosh, this is great.
I'm going to quickly I'm skipping most of these lists because as we're talking, I'm trying to Google, like, what are the worst science fiction movies? Just trying to see what.
Tell us, internet.
Well, most of them are slideshows, and I refuse to click through slideshows.
Yeah,
so if you're a fan of fthismovie.net, you're welcome for us not doing any slideshows ever. That's kind of a policy we have. We will not do slideshows. Because if I click on something and it's a slideshow, I'm out. I'm not clicking through it.
Right.
I don't care how much I want to know what these top 10 things are.
Yeah.
I'm not clicking through a slideshow.
Don't give me your clickbait.
No.
I refuse.
So this is IO9,
okay.
Which is a legitimate website.
Sure.
I've read stuff on there before.
Yeah,
the 20 best worst science fictions. So these are like bad movies that they love, I think, is
so
what they're
saying.
So this
is like...
So it's not the worst of the worst. It's like...
These are the 20 worst-looking, good-looking people. Best-looking.
I guess. These are like bad movies that we love.
Okay.
The Faculty.
Okay.
The Chronicles of Riddick.
Dude. I will die on that hill of Chronicles of Riddick.
I'm right there with you, man.
It's a good time, man.
Time Cop.
Oh, shoot, I didn't see Time Cop. That's what I just realized.
Time Cop's pretty sweet.
All right. Well,
this list is way off base. Mimic?
I'm Mimic. Okay with Mimic. I don't think it's bad.
Hollow Man?
Hollow Man's okay.
It's
not great, but it's
Hollow
okay.
Hollow Man might be better if it didn't exist in the shadow of Starship Troopers. Like, I went to see Hollow Man wanting the next Starship Troopers, and boy, is it not. the Planet of the Apes remake?
How could there be another Starship Troopers? You'll never be that surprised ever. You were chasing that dragon for
That's
so
what
long.
Got me to Battlefield Earth opening day.
Oh, God. Battlefield Earth!
That's bottom.
There
That's
you go.
Bottom of the barrel.
Holy crap.
So many wipes in that movie.
I'm so sad that Barry Pepper was in that, because I'd like Barry Pepper, and I was
sure,
sad that
but
he
like,
was
what's
in that
the
movie?
Last thing that he did that you were like, good job,
know.
Barry Pepper?
I don't know. I just sort
he
of
had a few
him.
Years there where it was like, this guy's going places.
Yeah, because he knew how to play like a soldier pretty well.
Sure.
And so he
and
was
did
fine.
It a lot.
Yeah.
The Planet of the Apes remake.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, it's really not good. The Last Starfighter? I call such bullshit on this list.
Yeah, dude, I like The Last Starfighter.
IO9 can go fuck off. The Last Starfighter does not belong on any list with the word worst in it.
No, not at all.
Unless
by the way,
it's
guys,
like,
right.
Worst choice by Catherine Mary Stewart to not marry Patrick Bromley. Like, that is the one worst list it could land on.
That bitch.
Does that list exist, by the way?
We can make it right now.
All
right. It's fine. But we can turn this off and we'll make the list.
Starship Troopers is the next movie on here.
Oh, my
gosh. IO9 is written by children or shitheads.
That doesn't make any sense.
Resident Evil Apocalypse. How do you suppose they landed on the sequel, not Resident Evil? That one's good.
Well,
better
about,
than Starship
well,
Troopers
about,
and The Last Starfighter.
What about the other Resident Evils?
I don't know.
There's like six more of those.
Alien 3.
Oh, come on, guys. It's Fincher.
Blade Trinity.
Okay, well, that's okay.
Deep Impact.
I didn't see Deep Impact.
I didn't either.
I'm just not interested in disaster movies.
It turns out I'm not either, and this came up earlier this week because
San Andreas
reviewed,
was coming out.
Yeah, and Adam had reviewed it, and I had said, like, oh, I'm not going to see it. I have no interest in seeing it. And he was citing some other movies. Like, it's kind of, if you're cool with movies like Deep Impact, Dante's Peak, and Volcano, and I was like, I thought, I haven't seen any of those. I must have just really made a deliberate choice, because I'm at the point now where, like, if I wanted to see a movie, I probably would have seen it. There's certainly things that I haven't gotten around to. I mean, The Conversation, you know.
Right.
But if I wanted to see Dante's Peak at this point, I probably
you would
have
run
made
into
the effort. Yeah, exactly.
Right. I actually didn't even go out to see it. I just ran into it, like, on a plane.
Yeah.
It trapped me.
Alien versus Predator.
Like lava. Oh, dude. My buddy Max is usually a very discriminating person. In terms of everything, in terms of music, in terms of movies, in terms of food, everything. But, like, his, like, one horrendous vice is that he loves seeing, like, totally garbage movies opening day. And not like you, because, like, you just love all movies, because movies are the best. Patrick loves movies so much, guys.
I do.
He just, and that he'll just watch anything, so it's fine. Except my buddy Max, like, deliberately goes out to watch really horrible movies just so he can, because he's like, you know what, I just kind of want to turn my brain off a little bit.
But why not do it at a good movie?
I don't know. But that's his thing. So he was, like, texting me with the opening weekend of Alien versus Predator and was like, dude, are we going to go watch this? I'm like, no, I'm going to meet you afterwards. You maniac. That would be on my list of really bad ones.
It is the worst.
What do you think about Predators?
I kind of like Predators.
I kind of do, too, actually.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I recognize it's not great.
Yeah.
I
feel like what we're discovering right now, sorry to cut you off, is that we have a really large sweet spot of, like, middle-class science fiction movies that we're like, that's cool. I'll watch that.
Yeah. Again,
there's some really few, like, really terrible ones. It's hard for me to think of, like, really, really terrible ones that I wouldn't watch.
The Langoliers, which is a TV movie.
I have never heard of that.
It's based on a Stephen King thing. It was a TV movie in the 90s. It's okay. It's not great. After, like, it really hit big, they started turning all of his movies into miniseries.
Sure.
All of his books into miniseries. Reign of Fire.
I call bullshit because I like Reign of Fire.
I have not seen Reign of Fire since opening night, but in my head, Reign of Fire is the perfect companion piece to Doomsday because they're both movies that I should love and I don't. Because Reign of Fire, in theory, it's like, what? Helicopters and dragons and Matthew McConaughey has a cigar.
Are we going to fight about Reign of Fire right
now? I have not seen it since opening night. I did not like it almost at all when I saw it.
Sure.
Haven't seen it since then. And I know that it has fans.
Yeah,
but
I found it rewatchable. Okay. I don't love it. I just found it rewatchable.
Okay.
It's a pretty good dragon movie. I think Heath Holland might have included it on his, like, dragon list when he did an article about dragons.
There aren't a ton of dragon movies.
No.
That is one of them.
This one's all right.
Yeah.
They're pretty realistic. You know, because dragons are really realistic.
How do you know which ones are fake?
Well, if it's pink,
okay.
If it talks in Sean Connery's voice,
oh, I am the last one.
Yeah,
I'm going to control the weather.
Yeah, pussy galore. Right. Is all I can say.
That's it. Just pussy galore.
No. If you want to talk like Sean Connery, you need to talk as if you've got rocks in your mouth. Trebek.
A friend of mine told me that you should always ask to get into the Connery voice. You should order a dozen eggs.
I would like a dozen eggs.
Money penny.
The Fifth Element.
Oh, dude, we've talked about The Fifth Element.
Enemy Mine.
I like Enemy Mine.
I haven't seen it in so long. Yeah, like probably 30 time. Years. Signs.
Yeah, it's okay. Signs is okay.
And Red Planet.
I have not seen Red Planet.
Red Planet is not great.
Yeah, that's the word.
Red Planet might be sub-Doomsday.
Was that, this sounds like a challenge. Did Red Planet come out the same year as Mission to Mars?
Yes, that was the Deep what Impact the Armageddon standoff. The Bug's Life.
That was the
ants.
Volcano Dante's Peak.
Exactly. Red there's, Planet there's and so Mission to Mars. And Mission to Mars was a movie I saw opening night. Brian De Palma. Sure. I wanted to love it so much, and I don't think I did. But I feel like I think it was the first movie I ever saw projected 100% digitally.
Ooh.
And now I just long for film. That was one of the great things about that UHF screening was they showed like a pristine, never touched 35mm print of UHF.
Where the hell did they get that or find it?
In a
they
vault?
Just make it?
Yeah, no, they didn't strike a new print. It was an old print from 89 that just hadn't never been... Was that maybe like in a university library or I don't think
this
it was.
This is why we have garage sales.
Al Yankovic's personal copy. But Music Box is one of the few remaining places in the city that can even show 35mm.
Yeah.
I was really happy when we did Die Hard a few years ago that they showed 35.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
We should do that again, by the way.
It was not a great print, but I would much rather
nobody
have seen.
Cared.
Yeah, like not a great print than screening a Blu-ray, you know.
Who was in Red Planet and who was in Mission to Mars?
Val Kilmer is Red Planet and Carrie Ann Moss. And Mission to Mars is Don Cheadle, Tim Robbins, Gary Sinise.
Guy Pearce, was he in
Jerry O'Connell. Guy Pearce is in Prometheus. Ooh, Lockout. Where do you come down on Lockout?
Oh, man. I really wanted to love Lockout, but I didn't. But you know what? I like it better than Doomsday because I felt like there were more parts of Lockout that worked for me than didn't. And also Guy Pearce was the
Guy Pearce
part.
Is so great in
He's
Lockout.
He's so good at that movie.
That he stands out so much that like that's, I think, the advantage that it has. Because, again, Doomsday doesn't have like the one thing that you could say like, oh, but this is awesome.
Right.
It's like the idea of it is awesome.
Right.
So I could point to that and be like, well, I love that he wants to pay tribute to all these movies. Whereas with Lockout, movie's not great, but Guy Pearce is so great
was
that you
so
could at least say
it.
Like, oh, yeah, but it's worth it just for Guy Pearce.
See, Doomsday could have had the crazy girl with the painted face. That could have been our Guy Pearce. But
yeah.
It wasn't meant to
why
be.
Why not just make her the hero?
Sure.
I don't know.
Why not make her the main bad guy also?
Sure. Or anyone. Make her the girl you have to rescue.
Yeah, just...
Make a movie about her. What if they do a Doomsday prequel? Neil Marshall listens to this and is like, I'm going to do a Doomsday prequel.
Is Neil Marshall on Twitter? We can find him.
He might be.
Okay.
I hope he does a prequel
He's
and it's
big.
Just about that girl.
It's just...
But it's just like an office job. It's like before the apocalypse.
Right.
She's just working in it, but she still looks like that.
Right.
But she's working in an office.
She was some sort of... I don't want to say exotic dancer. That's the wrong kind. It's like some sort of like... Those are like ethnic tattoos, and so she was like working at a museum or something, but it didn't work. I think they should also have a concurrent storyline where they just show us how Rhona Mitra lost her eye. Oh no, they did show us that.
We saw it.
Damn it!
Don't worry, that piece was explained because otherwise I would have called bullshit.
Right.
I remember never being able to fully get into Escape from New York because I was all like, "What happened to Snake Plissken's eye?
We need to know."
Lame. Anyway, let's stop talking about Doomsday.
That's
I feel
fine.
Like we were harder on it than I wanted to be, but I truly am just trying to get to the bottom of why I don't love it. And I don't know that we did.
I think it's just meant to not... It's just meant to be an
ambiguous, it's just one of those things.
Place in your heart.
And that's the frustrating kind of movie where you're like, boy, I should love this. This is made for me, and yet something's holding me back, right? And that can be a really frustrating kind of movie because there's so many movies that are like, yeah, okay, I don't like it. But it's not for me, so that's fine. You know, the fact that I didn't love Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, like, that movie's not for me, right? There are plenty of movies that we see that I'm just like, not for me. Okay. Doomsday is for me, and yet something's holding me back. And so I was just hoping to get to the bottom of it. And maybe we did.
This is it. We got to a good place because we figured out that we actually love a lot of science fiction movies.
Yeah.
And that there's very, very few in the bottom class for us.
There's going to be way more. People start naming them in the comments.
I know. I can't wait, actually.
But by the way, somebody's bottom, like somebody, we look at that list on IO9, they're naming, these are bad movies. And we're like, what? No. Those are not. So somebody's bottom, I say Equilibrium is in like my bottom, and somebody's like, no, I love that movie, you know. So it does. And somebody's favorite is somebody's least favorite, so there's no right answers, obviously. But this is a good movie to talk about for Junesploitation. Not all of our podcasts will be kind of Junesploitation centric, but I thought this one might be fun just again because of the Mad Max wave and Junesploitation. Keep it up on Junesploitation, you guys. We have, I don't know, like 27
more days, guys.
Keep up your stamina. Remember to hydrate. Squeeze in as many as you can. We have Free Space Days. If you don't want to watch an exploitation movie on Free Space Days, you don't have to. I still will be watching exploitation movies.
Don't worry, guys. Patrick's going to make up for all of you slackers.
I got it. I'll just watch Sorceress again.
Yeah. and also, don't feel the pressure. Obviously, we want everybody to participate, but also don't feel pressure to be like, oh my God, I have to watch whatever. It's okay. It's meant to be fun.
Yeah, right. If you start to make yourself miserable, then you don't want to do it anymore.
It's not meant to be homework. And like, it's just as, I think all of us who love movies always are looking for a reason to watch a movie. And of course, like, well, we've supplied a reason for you.
Right.
Here. Go.
As always, you can find our website at fthismovie.net. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at fthismovie. You can like us on Facebook, listen to us on Stitcher, hear us in the iTunes store, email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. What am I forgetting, Mark?
Did you talk about Stitcher?
I think I did. Okay. I said the word. I still don't know what it means. We're on Instagram.
Follow the Junesploitation. Make sure you come back and post whatever you're seeing, and then give us a little review on the whatever you're seeing for Junesploitation.
Yeah. And thank you guys very much for listening. We will be back next week.
See you later. I'm gonna go watch Lockout.
Thanks for listening to FS Movie.